You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Some people work on their image. Others work on their mindset. Some focus on leadership, some on healing, some on advocacy, and others on purpose. And then there are those rare souls who realize that all of these things are actually one conversation, because how you see yourself determines how you show up. And how you show up determines how you lead. And how you lead determines the impact you leave behind. Tonight's shapeshifter is one of those women, a visionary entrepreneur, a transformational leader, a certified image consultant who doesn't just dress people, but restores them to themselves. Her work lives at the intersection of inner strength and outer presence. She builds emotional resilience, mentors leaders, coaches pageant queens, hosts retreats, facilitates Enneagram journeys, and creates spaces where people feel seen, celebrated, and safe enough to become. But her leadership doesn't end in boardrooms and coaching sessions. She climbed Mount Kilimanjaro for the End Human Trafficking Project. She walked Tankwa Camino as an act of healing and advocacy. She serves Child Welfare Tswane. She hosts the A21 Walk for Freedom. She sits on boards. She shows up for justice. She embodies purpose. Come on. And as if that weren't enough, she stood on one of the biggest platforms in the country as a Mrs. South Africa semi-finalist 2024. Not to be admired, but to remind women that confidence is not cosmetic. It is constructed from courage. She is proof that leadership is not a title. It is alignment. It is embodiment. It is a quiet decision to live in integrity, even when nobody is watching. Tonight, we are not here to learn what she does. We are here to understand who she became in order to do it. This is Shapeshifters Thursday, and tonight's story is about becoming visible to yourself before you become visible to the world. Octavia Ephraim, welcome to the show.
Bumi, what an incredible way to welcome me. You almost took me to a teary moment, you know. This is just a beautiful tribute, and I love how you've ended that, because in most cases we just read how people are championing such platforms, but we more, I always say, when I hear someone serving God with significance, I'm interested in the testimony more than the accolades. Thank 100%. You so much,
Mpumi. Oh, I love having you here, and I'm looking forward to our conversation tonight.
Thank you so much, sis. I'm looking forward to bond with the listeners as well.
Yeah.
And congratulations to AWRSI Media with the ministry. You know, I always say we all have a platform.
Yeah.
I mean, the pulpit, but the place is different.
That's
the success
true.
Story, how you minister through media, you truly inspire me. I'm passionate about media. I never thought media can be such an incredible platform to minister as well. Well done to you and the team.
Oh, thank you. I will pass the congratulatory message to to leadership. And, you know, I loved how you got in and said, oftentimes we look at the titles, we look at the platforms, we look at the impact, and you've got those in abundance. But I'm so curious to know what little Octavia was dreaming about. I don't think anybody told you about boards when you were 10 or even gave you the idea of Mrs. South Africa. I don't even think it existed then. We had Miss South Africa. But what were you dreaming about as a child?
Incredible, Mpumi. Actually, if you look at how I grew up, the things that I was doing at my age, how I showed up at my age. A few years ago, my friend, we were reunited through social media. Love social media. I always say it can be used in a positive way in many ways. My high school friend, you know, life happens. We go to different places. And a few years ago, five years ago, we were reunited. She said to me, "My friend, I'm actually surprised you're not a doctor or you're not a professor." So I am actually, in a way, behind. But as we grow wiser, we just realize that God's ways of doing things has a way of truly humbling us, you know. So for me, you've asked me how I grew up. I was raised in a very incredible home. I was raised by my grandparents, and they were both community leaders. Okay. You know, I was raised in a home where, you know, responsibility and faith and working with excellence were really practiced daily. I remember my grandfather used to say, in many ways, do things right the first time. And especially when no one sees you, and if you don't do things right the first time, you know what, you will repeat until it's done correctly. My grandfather was also a school governing body chairperson. Of so you can understand that, you know what, we had to set the tone of, he would say, "I can't be part of the disciplinary hearing and my kids are there. No, no, no." And my grandmother was actually, we only realized later that she was an ordained pastor, but she never really announced that I was an ordained pastor. Oh. But how she lived, I always say, Matthew 5, verse 16, "Let your light shine before you." You know, this is how my grandparents' home was. I mean, if you hear me now and then, I laugh so beautifully. I love laughter. I love joy. I love happiness. Literally, my home was that, you know, it was beautiful, homely. So my grandmother, her lifestyle as well, being a community leader, she was called a healer then. And you know what? Everyone wanted to see how we behaved. And we also had to set the tone. At school, you know, I was always the top three. I was one of those that, you know, the teachers will give you the textbook, the chalk to write the notes. You know, I was the one, you know, when people make noise, you would, you know, palaba kulmayo, right? You know. And then in sport, I played it in high school, Mpumi. I played over five sports, actually, you know, and I mean, it takes really, it takes discipline, self-leadership, you know, to be able to, in certain semesters, how did you call it then? I can't recall, but, you know, to be able to have that discipline to perform academically and also perform in sport. I was in debates, I was the chairperson of SRC and so on, you know, so just to cut the long story short, some of the things along the way, I got married at 20. Sure. At 23, I had two kids already. So to answer your question, you know, some of the things that I was at school that my friend will come and say, "I thought you were going to be a professor or a doctor now." You know, life happened, being a young mother, being a young wife, you know, I had to put a lot of things on hold. And literally for years on hold, but for some reason, in as much as I got married when I was young, I did not go to tertiary immediately. I looked for a job. But when I was blessed, my first job, I was a cashier at Morkels. 2 years later, we moved to Pretoria. I got a job at F&B, and moving from F&B to APSA. So when I got, especially when I joined F&B, the exposure in corporate, you know, my performance there, it just, you know, the incredible leadership qualities from young stars, you know, they were just flourishing. I remember my boss in both APSA and F&B, they used to say, "I wonder, I'm interested who raised you, you know, the qualities you have are very, you know, significant qualities, you know." So where were we? I'm going everywhere. I get excited by this question.
Okay. It's okay. I was really just curious about the young girl that you were that produced this woman that I'm speaking to tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And also for me, talking about service.
Yeah.
My my grandparents' home. It was me, my grandfather, my grandfather before he passed on, my grandmother and my brother. It was just the four of us, and the others will just come and visit. But let me tell you something. I don't recall a time where in that sweet home, there were less than 10 people that lived with us. Some we did not even know. And my grandparents, they've got close to three, if it's not more than three, 4 hectares land that we use to farm different types of vegetables in that land. And come time for harvesting, we used to literally take food from the garden and send it to the neighbors and so on. So for me, serving, I remember in many places, sometimes now and then you would hear people and say, people that are just hands-on with serving. Sometimes they are hiding a pain. Sometimes they use the serving to run away from themselves and so on. But for me, it was truly a pleasure for me. It was truly a servant service heart that I grew up seeing my grandfather parents doing it, and they did it so gracefully. And I remember my grandmother used to say, the only way you can thank the Lord is to use your gifts, talents, and the resources to bless you with, to bless your family and bless those around you in such a way that, Mpumi, even in trying times, even financially, even in our home, we have this thing, if even if we're struggling financially, but there's that portion of this we have to come what may. This is where we have to give back. Come what may. I mean, even my kids, when they were growing up, they knew seasonally we will open our wardrobes and sprinkling the wardrobe and just donate to charity. Still beautiful stuff, you know. So the charity home doing, I grew up with, thank God, I married a husband who's also passionate about giving.
Oh, that matters so much.
So when we have to give in my home, we don't even have sit in the family boardroom memo and say, are we giving? Sometimes we give first, we tell each other after and say, hey, by the way, there was this need. And I realized by the time I get home, it was going to be too late. This is what I've done, you know. So it truly is. And if I don't, if like I say, there are seasons that will try you for me, where you're struggling to show up in many ways and you will neglect the part of giving. If it just runs in your blood, it becomes heavy when you do not give. You always find. And it's not always just about money. I mean, there were times we could give, you know, financially, we also, you know, sometimes like, I'm not sure whether I'm giving or I'm showing off here, putting back, you know. But there are times, trust me, I always say I'm so grateful. I know how to give when I have money. I know how to give when I don't have money. So my skills and talents, and there are times whereby I say, God, I can't give you money, but I know with my gifts and talents and time, this is how I'm going to save you money from here. If it was equivalent, I mean, as a consultant myself, when you have to charge your consultation, your time fee, you realize, oh, the time that I've been doing this, if I was charging my fee, this is actually how much I was going to be charging. I'm giving my time, you know. So giving, it comes truly in different ways.
Love it. Love it. So many thoughts coursing through my brain. But I will anchor what you've just shared with the fact that it's no surprise then that you became the person that you were, firstly, that you are, because number one, you had great examples in front of you. You had people who didn't just teach you the way, but who lived it. And in every sense of being a role model, they modeled a role and many roles, in fact, that you are now occupying in your adulthood. I do want to talk about this idea, though. I do want you to shed some light on this. You sound to me as an A-type personality, the overachiever, the girl who can't do anything and will do everything because she can. And you also mentioned that you're behind on your own schedule. And, you know, when you said that, it triggered a memory in me. In high school, I was telling people, when I am 18, I will have a car. I will drive a car, and I'm going to study in America. When I'm 21, I'm going to own a home. I had all these, plans in my mind. And I remember when I bought a house at 27, I said at my housewarming, guys, I know we're all here celebrating, but I have to tell you, I am 4 years behind of my own schedule. And people chuckled. Yes. And I meant it because I had a plan and it didn't materialize. And I'm so curious for the overachiever, the A-type personality, the alpha female, the person who has their life figured out in their brain. How do you reconcile a period or a season where God just has you waiting, or he's pruning you, or he's really just put you on hold, it feels, and you're not progressing in the time frame and in the manner and in the way you know you are capable of, because you've done it in the past. You can surely do it in the present. How do you reconcile God's will and your ambition and your capability to actually act on your ambition?
Love your question, Bumi. I couldn't agree with you more. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was doing journaling and vision boarding even before I knew it was vision board journaling and so on. I had everything in order, you know. And as I told you that my grandmother was a pastor, and for some reason, you know, when she now and then, when something happens, she will refer you to the Bible. And when you say, "But Granny, this should have happened," and she would say in a very calm manner, "My dear darling, this too shall pass. It is a season. There's winter, summer, and so on." But I cannot lie to you, Bumi, and say it was not tough. Even now, when I reflect, I think what makes me to be at peace, this is what I always say to people, to my kids, my mentors as well, and those I get an opportunity to speak to, and say, "Trust me, in every season," we've just launched a talk show with Channel 341. The name of the show is Becoming Her, right?
Yeah.
And in the Becoming Her, one of the things we speak about, Mpumi, is trust me, when we strive to stay in alignment, to sit at his feet, one way or the other, in every season, you are becoming. So and it's good. Unfortunately, in that becoming season, we cannot outsource your becoming, meaning when you keep on showing up. I remember, Mpumi, I had a privilege of the beauty of being raised with parents like my grandparents. When you want to throw in the towel, there's that element of, "I cannot disappoint Papa Nomkhulu. This is not how I was raised," and so on. Just keep on showing up, even little baby steps and so on. Look at, I was, for me, it's sort of a healing Thanksgiving journey, Mpumi, when you were reading my profile. You know, it's incredible. I'm now asking myself, did I do that? Why did I do that? Why did I do that? But it was really those baby steps of keep on showing up. Yeah. I try, Mpumi, even in hard times, I can safely say I disappear with grace, if you know what I mean. I disappear with grace. It is not easy. You just have to be intentional of, come what may, I would not allow to open that little hole that devil can use, you know, against me to make me feel like I am a failure. But I know this too. My grandmother, when she passed on, now and then, I'll literally, when there's so many thorns in my life, I'll pick up the phone, want to phone my grandmother and remember, oh, she's no more. But I would vividly hear her voice saying, "This too shall pass." And it's unfortunately, when I launched my talk, in 2001 of my signature talks for me in 2011, the theme was take off the mask.
Ooh.
And in part of taking off the mask is, who is Mpumi when your title is taken away from you, when your car is repossessed, when your home is repossessed, or you've got a home but you don't have money for getting, or you have to downgrade, and so when everything is stripped of you, who are you, you know? And for me at that time, trust me, according to where I come from, how hard I've worked in that season, I had it all, my darling. I could speak about who are you when you have it all. Little did I know that God was going to prune me
the way you say,
hey, I didn't know that I was inviting the pruning. God literally pruned me. The things that used to define Octavia, he took them away. The titles, I mean, when I left corporate, I had an incredible incredible career. I did not leave corporate just because, hey, I don't have options.
Yes.
And literally my boss sat with me. So, Octavia, are you sure? Because your career here, you're going to be blooming. Mm. I'm on literally on the next level. When I was a middle manager, appointed as a middle manager, Bumi, I was 34 years in a specialized environment in the bank. At that time, it was a big thing. And I used to say to people, I'm not a BE candidate. My work speaks for itself. My work spoke for itself, you know? And I had all those titles. Unkulunkulu God pruned me. Hey, he pruned me. Mm. And I'm grateful for the talk that I launched because it tested me, like you say, how do I feel when I'm being pruned? Whether do I walk the talk? Mm. Do I leave what I...
Yes.
You know, I would go back to my notes.
You have to tell the truth. It can't be theory.
Yes. Booming, I had affirmation when I would give people when I to do my talks. I had declarations when I do my talk. Mm. I had specific prayers for your will of life when I do my talk to give my clients. And those notes, those sermons, those talks, those workshops, it felt like Booming, God was preparing that for me. Mm. I sat with that material. So when I say take off the mask, who are you when everything is taken away from you and you can still show up with excellence, with significance, with you sit on the table with queens and queens, executives, and you nobody, but you would know, God, you've brought me in this table because there is a reason.
Yeah.
There is something that I have to say, Kule Tafula, on this table. And trust me, I can safely say I have passed that test.
Why did you walk away? Why did you walk away at what seemed like the peak of your career? I mean, for your managers to say, Octavia Sisi. Why did you walk away?
Passion for entrepreneurship, right? Mm. But at that time, you know, when you the boardrooms, my darling, will truly test your character. The boardroom will test your faith.
The boardroom will
test your integrity. Mm. The boardroom will really, you'll have to choose. You know, there are times where, God, am I choosing my peace here or the applause? Mm. And I remember I've always been, one thing I did not mention to you, I've always been selling from home. We've been selling amakunya, we've been selling so many things at school.
Yeah.
And I remember in between I was working, but still selling quite a few things. So entrepreneurship has always been there.
Mm.
And then one of the things I'm passionate about clothing as an image consultant, Bumi, how I've been dressing, how I've been color coding garments and so on. I didn't even realize there was something called, I'm coming to answer your question.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that there was something called image consulting.
Mm-hmm.
And in my journey, when I was appointed as a manager, we also, you know, did a Gibbs Gordon Institute of Business Science School Leadership Program, UPSA Leadership Program.
Mm.
And in one of the presenters, they were speaking about leadership and personal branding. Mm. And there was image management in that course. For me,
it felt
as the facilitator, my darling, they were thinking, I was like, I didn't even know that there's a career called image consulting.
Yeah.
What is this image consulting thing? I Googled. Bumi, I studied, I'm a qualified image consultant, Bumi. In my class, 80% of what was being presented, things that really came spontaneously,
true,
natural.
Yes, ma'am.
So when the going got tough, I just realized I've always been passionate about entrepreneurship.
Mm.
Maybe it's time that, you know, God speaks in different ways.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time that, you know what, finally. I mean, my business was registered in 2007 already, but I left corporate in 2011, right?
Mm.
You know, one of my friends likes to say, my friend, I don't know whether you left corporate because you were ready for entrepreneurship or you were tired of fighting, right? because the quiet was really unbearable. I think I could survive for years, because at least in between there were leaders that will still back you up. But sometimes you don't feel that. Just want to be like a, what is the word? A case that always someone has to, make sure that Octavia is not being stepped on the toes and so on. And especially when it comes across as if, are you able to lead, or I'm tired of proving myself. If I'm leading this way, you're still unable to see that, you'll never see that. So I left and listened to my aha moment. Currently, I'm writing a book, and the name of the book is Corporate Boardroom Dropout.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. And the seed was planted, Mpumi, in my entrepreneurship journey. We attended 2 years ago a Cherie Blair Foundation for women, the leadership program. There was communication skills, there was leadership, and also the third module we did that I fell in love with is advocacy. How to advocate for yourself as a woman in business. Mpumi, they were talking to me, my darling. I was like, oh, in the boardroom, when I was still in corporate, I was actually fighting instead of advocating for myself. Oh, how I wish I knew this then, The Corporate Boardroom Dropout book, it's coming from there. I'm still passionate about corporate. I'm passionate about mentorship. And, so I'm saying I'm going to go back to corporate, mentor those that are in the boardroom, because not everyone is meant to be an entrepreneur, Mpumi. And some, I would not want to leave, experience what I've experienced to say, I knew eventually I was going to start my business, but I think I left prematurely because I was tired of fighting. Yet I was not supposed to fight. I was supposed to advocate for myself in the boardroom, right?
I'm going to pause here, and I'm going to tell you something, but I don't want us to talk about it here.
Okay, ma'am.
So much of what you are saying, almost verbatim, I'm pretty sure if my family and my friends are listening, they feel like they are hearing me speak, because so much of what you are saying is resemblance of my story. So the reason I paused is because I was getting goosebumps. Like, there's no way you can be hearing your story on the other side of the line.
But
we don't have to talk about it here. We can talk about it off air. I do want us to talk about identity and image. You are a qualified image consultant. In the deepest sense, what is image really?
For me, without going to, we are faith-based sisters, brothers and sisters, and our media as well. And the first point of reference is know who you are in Christ. Let me tell you, sis, it is said that there's a lot of women who really don't know who they are in Christ, not because they don't want to, but because of the thorns along the way that stole your identity, in such a way that when I launched my image consulting business, I was focusing on the attribute, and in the blessing that I have, where the client will just cling with me as a consultant. Eventually, we will leave the image consulting and concentrate on personal development coaching or healing journey. Healing journey for me. Part of my giving back to community. I'm a trained trauma counselor, and I used to serve at Sinoville Crisis Center. Sinoville Police Station as well. They were feeding a lot of clients to us for counseling for trauma for different cases, right? So immediately when I consult with someone, you just realize you like, take off the mask. My topic comes from there as well. To say, Mpumi, you look good from outside. You dress so spectacular, my darling. You speak so eloquently, Mpumi. You've got your MBAs, PhD, you name it, But those were cover, and people would say, but I'm not happy. I mean, I was like, people would say, there was this this professor from Harvard. Mm. He's a professor of happiness. Mm. He literally studied happiness, you know.
Oh, I and think some I've heard of him. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Mm. Yes, ma'am. And he would say these things as well to say, for him, it was really the inspiration to say, people have it all, but they are not happy. No. And then we say, let's pack everything and say, who are you? Your identity. Let's find who are you. Mm. To know who Octavia is, what you love, you know, to trust and believe that God knew me before I was even in my mother's womb. Therefore, why am I here on earth? You know, it's such a beautiful journey. And it's funny, eventually the trauma counseling, what I started as a service at Centerville Crisis Center, Mpumi, for over 5 years weekly, I will donate my 2 hours counseling times, right? We are not paid, and I was still in corporate then, working in Kempton Park. Yeah. My kids were still young, drop them off, you know, still have literally the full-time motherhood journey as well, but still find those 2 hours to go and service at Centerville Crisis Center for over 5 years. Little did I know that God will reward me and say the expertise that you gained there, now they are transforming, you know, my clients in my business. I always say, okay, we would see the looking good at the later stage. I just want you to be happy. I just want you to, even if you don't have the makeup, if you love the makeup, even if you don't have the makeup, you used to, even going to just around the corner, I have to put my makeup on. We go to a stage where you can even go to the mall without the makeup on and just rock your world, you know?
Why is the work that you do important as an image consultant? Why is it important?
For me, it's important on how you show up, your confidence, your importance of staying in your alignment, e.g. when I was still incorporated, the HR portfolio was talent management, talent selection, talent mentorship, talent coaching was part of my portfolio. You know, I had an honor to see and scan and select from incredible CVs. People, for instance, I was in the deceased estate environment. Most of people that work in that space are graduates, not just graduates, with LLB, most of them, right? I had, you know, when there's a position, you know, people would love to specialize with deceased estate administration. They will apply, most of law graduates, they will apply. But when time comes for the interview, to sell yourself, to showcase your skills and so on, people are just intimidated by the interviews. They're like, you know, sometimes you will screen the CV and like, I wonder if this is your,
if it's yours
your qualification or, you know? Yes. Yeah. So for me, so why is image important for me? Your confidence to be able to showcase what God has put on your hands. If you are a graduate, you're looking for an employment, you know, it's still relevant for me to dress for success. I don't care who says what, but how we dress and how you show up, people can decide of whether they want to do business with you or not, you know. So I would say, if you really want to grow, for someone like me who wants to service my corporate clients, surely how I show up, how I dress, and it's even worse now with the digital presence as well. Companies, they look us in the social media spaces of, can I do this business with? Can I trust this person with my time? You know? Absolutely, absolutely. And managing your image, for me, it is exactly that, managing your image, meaning how you do things, you also respect yourself. So whether Mpumi, if Mpumi is my boss, whether she's around or not, when I'm given a task, how I execute that task with excellence. It's really not about Mpumi, before about Mpumi, it's about me, my brand. It's even worse with us, the God that we are representing. He's a God of order, God of excellence, you know, God of who expects us to flourish in the marketplace, even before we say, hey, I am a Christian. Let them see us through how we do things, you know. So that image management, it's really, really, really important for me. And, yeah. and even before we come to clothing, mm-hmm. You know, selecting the garments, for me, that's the last part. But when you get there, the selecting the garments now is people are wasting so much money in buying beautiful garments mm-hmm. that are just sitting in the wardrobe because I don't look good in this. Oh, it doesn't fit good. It doesn't fit well for my body type. So when, especially when you consult with the image consultant, you would know exactly which garments are suitable for your body type, Mpumi, mm-hmm. in such a way that whatever mm-hmm. you have in your wardrobe, mm-hmm. when you pick it out, if you put it on, you mix and match, you will always look the part, mm-hmm. you know. For instance, you spoke about Mrs. South Africa, right? Mm-hmm. I think I decided the last minute to enter for Mrs. South Africa. And there was no time for me to get the sponsor for wardrobe and so on. Yeah. The first few months, literally, I was shopping from my wardrobe and I looked the part. I looked good because I knew which style. Because I knew which style suits me, which style suits my personality, which style that communicates, you know, my message. If I want to be known as a leader, surely I need to show up as a leader as well, right? Yeah. How I dress.
Yeah. Yeah. You're so multifaceted. There's so many ways I can take this conversation. I'm just like, time. You know, I'm so annoyed at time for passing. But you strike me as somebody who doesn't find it difficult to reinvent themselves. And I know that there are people who feel stuck in their own bodies, stuck in their minds, stuck in their workplaces. They just don't know how to take the next step. What is the first thing that maybe first, second, and third, you can decide how you want to take this? For somebody who feels stuck and doesn't realize that the next step is reinventing themselves, maybe because they've hit the ceiling of the season that they were in, or they've outgrown who they were, because in any case, every 7 years we change, we grow, we develop. So what is the secret to reinventing yourself?
I think most of the exciting thing for me is it exciting? Someone would say, hey, I'm stuck here. I'm even afraid to try something else. Mm. How can that be exciting? Mm. But I think just be passionate about life. Be passionate about exploring. Be mindful that God brings us opportunity in different ways, right? And I'll make an example. When I was in corporate, literally every second year, I'll be moved to the next position, to the next position. I think for me at that time is I really wanted to climb the ladder, but the excitement of the minute you get stuck in a position where you feel I don't want to be, or doing something that you really think, I don't want to do this anymore. It actually, when you stay longer, it makes matters worse. You end up really being even more frustrated. Oh, and that is
so
when,
true.
Yes. And that is when others, the burnout will kick in, depression will kick in and so on. You know, just challenge yourself to try something new all the time, even if it doesn't make sense. Just say, Lord, you are ordering my steps now. For instance, Mpumi, I've made an example with when you put everything together now, it feels like, of course you've got a career planning. You've got a business milestone that you want, but along the way, God is still going to get you to summit the Kilimanjaro. But, you know, there's different routes that you're going to get there. For instance, what I've made an example with, I was passionate about image consulting. When I promoted my business, it was image consulting. There was no personal development coaching. There was no healing retreats. There was no trauma counseling and so on. But the more I consult with the client, then the need was more than just the image consulting. The image consulting was one exciting for me, and it was what was going to make me fast money than anything else. And I had to be obedient to say, God, is it really about money or about serving people and reward me through serving, you know? I mean, even if you go through my social medias, you'll realize that now and then I'll start promoting image consulting, but it feels like somehow it will just disappear. And then I'm busy behind the scenes with the coaching, mentorship, and some clients that we do those sessions with, you know, to protect the dignity of the client. We can't just promote. It's a very sacred journey of, you know, trauma counseling and healing retreat session. So you can't just pull out everything on social media. And I'm like, God, but I need money. And I know my image consulting can literally make me a million in 6 months' time if I'm busy with my corporate clients. But then one way or the other, Mpumi, he has a way of rewarding you, or even those the toes will take you to eventually where he wants you to be. So don't be afraid to try the new things and sit at his feet. Let me tell you something. It's not only about, you know, God using different routes to take you there. Sometimes you will have thousands of opportunities where you have to choose, and trust me, some are destruction. So for me, I would say sit as at his feet. When you have your love language with your God, you would know when he says, my dear child, this is the season not for visibility, but this is the season for you to pause and to serve this way, and be okay with it and be content with it, and know that your season, you know what, to flourish. If it means, you know, changing that career, changing that position you're at now, it feels like it's taking you 10 years back, but make sure whatever you choose, you are in alignment, you know, before making that giant step. I hope I've answered your question.
You have, so beautifully. And I think this is the last question or the last conversation we'll have time for. You know, you mentioned earlier that you have aspirations to return to corporate because you realized that when you should have been advocating, you were fighting. I don't know if you realize how your summit of Mount Kilimanjaro to end human trafficking, your walking of Tankwa Camino as an act of healing and advocacy, you know, the work you do, A21, Walk for Freedom, is you advocating, or at least you flexing the muscle, if not building the muscle of advocacy. So it sounds to me like the lesson has been learned and it's actually been put in effect.
Oh, for me, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I mean, now that you're saying that, I remember when I was summiting, climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, because to get to that, it was not even an overnight thing. For me, I never had a wish list to summit my Mount Kilimanjaro.
So how did
I
that
never
happen?
I never even knew much. I never even knew much about Mount Kilimanjaro. But because of the work that I was doing, I have been doing of the end human trafficking, I was invited on board, Mpumi. And I remember saying, Lord, now I'm invited for Tankwa. I'm invited for Mount Kilimanjaro. I was in Parliament for the end human trafficking project. And I just realized that things that have been happening behind the scenes, if I was in corporate, I don't think I was going to be able to do even a drop in an ocean of what I've done. Then I said to Unkulunkulu, to God, Mpumi, Lord, if this is what you made me leave corporate for that season, it's worth it. Nyabonga. Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you.
Octavia, I want to call you a brand, but I don't think that would suffice for who you are. You mentioned earlier about the show that you are doing on that channel. And I'm realizing that more than a brand, you are a becoming. You are the thing you are talking about. You are the thing you are the reflection for women who want to see themselves being better, doing better, allowing the detours of life to shape them into who they're meant to be and take them where they're meant to go. You know, we always think of transformation as changing your life, But hearing mm-hmm. you speak, I'm realizing that transformation really is about telling the truth about who you are.
Man.
Being very honest about who you are, whatever that looks like. I have a challenge. I'm an engineer, right? I'm a qualified engineer. But speaking is my passion. Broadcasting is my thing. Talent development is my thing. And it baffles a lot of people's minds to have this brain, this scientific brain, this engineering qualification, and still choose people, still choose hearts, still choose to speak instead of designing a system or innovating some other thing in the engineering space. And what you've taught me in this conversation is real transformation truly comes from telling the truth, firstly accepting the truth and telling it, not with your mouth, but telling it in the way that you live, so that people don't doubt that you're really gifted, you have a purpose, that this is who you are. They see you do it, they see the outcomes, and they come to the realization and the truth of who you are. So thank you for that gift. I hope that that is the gift that everyone received as well. To not be boxed in or to be bogged by what people say about you or the image that other people have of you. And I know that might sound contradictory or ironic given that you're an image consultant, but maybe the first step to really fixing your image up or upholding the right image is coming to the truth and accepting the truth of who you are and allowing for the rest of the world to catch up to that truth.
Pumi, thank you so much. And thank you so much. And I can assure you as well, I mean, with your expertise of being an engineer, one day everything, it will make sense. 100%. And thank you so much, Pumi. You've reminded all of us that, you know what, life is really not behind. Yeah. Becoming takes time. And we just have to honor every season that we are in. Mm. And in the journey of doing that, healing for me, Pumi, for us to be able to flourish in our purpose where God has placed us, let's also spring clean our lives and heal where healing is needed. Mm. Thank you so much for shining the light for you as well, because, I mean, it is a sacrifice to, like you say, broadcasting is my passion. As an engineer, trust me, there's a lot of things that you could be doing and making money out of it, but you chose to come here and serve Unkulunkulu. He sees the seed, Mpumi. Trust me, God sees the seed, and he will water it, my darling. It may not make sense now, but trust me, few years later, like,
this is what it is all about.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. How do people get a hold of your services? And perhaps just give us a brief overview of what it is you do and how people can then contact you to get served by you.
For me, my exciting product that I've launched, thank you so much for the opportunity. Yeah. My exciting product that I've launched is the Enneagram coaching, where we do the assessment and the debrief, Mpumi. And my aha moment with that, I'm like, you know what, when you go through the assessment of Enneagram, you won't lie to Octavia and you won't lie to yourself. That is why we want to do the spring cleaning prior. So even if you do one session with me, when you've done the Enneagram, trust me, you leave with the tools that will help you to start, you know what, reshaping where you wish to reshape. And I've been blessed to also now, you know, go back and service corporate as my clients. And I'm available on social medias, Pumi. And the first session, if you don't not sure whether some of the things you can Google, but let me just quickly say this before we close. If you're not sure whether you need my services or not, I've got a free discovery call for 30 minutes where we will have a conversation. And even if you don't use Octavia's services, but trust me, you will leave with something to take home and decide whether you can coach, you can self-coach, or whether you coach with Octavia, or if you decide to coach with somebody else, but you will know exactly which coach I must look for that will be in alignment with me. Because as coaches, mentors, as teachers, as leaders, for me, we're not meant to service everybody, right? In as much as maybe I want to work with you, but God has assigned somebody else to work with me, we have to have that discernment to know and the tools to know.
Yeah. Octavia Ephraim, everybody, thank you so much for coming through.
For me, thank you for having me. Thank Cheers. You so much. God bless your ministry.
Thank you, you too. And with that, I am Nompumelelo Mbonane, and I hope you have just made sense of your business. We do this again next week, Monday at 6 p.m. Fresh mercies tomorrow, though. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.